Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 132 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's undedicated sports podcast network. And also Fanatics, taking you through today's show. It's just me and the roving reporter, back from his holidays yet again. Lee has returned. How was Portugal?
Mate, you know what? It was absolutely perfect. I was just saying to you off air then, it was like a tale of two trips. One was 12 southerners, 12 northerners, so it was like a Ryder Cup. But I've literally never drank so much in my life. The guys north of the wall like a beer, let's just say that, like wildlings, mate. And then the second part was very much a chill break with my mate who lives out there, and we just played a bit of tennis and a bit of paddle, for anyone that's never heard of that. Anyone that loves a bit of tennis and squash, it's like a combination of the two. So not that I'm promoting it like Andy Murray or anything, but yeah, it was a great little trip the second half, and just a bit of rest and relaxation away from the business, mate. And away from Everton, because it's aging all of us, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Obviously, we're going to get into that, because obviously you're away for the Chelsea game, which obviously me and Pete covered last week, which was a great win. You know, maybe in some people's eyes, unexpected. And then we go into yesterday against Leicester. You know, looking at, Can we get 3 points? Just don't lose the game, but 3 points would be massive. We come away with a 2-1 win, and it means absolutely everything at this stage of the season, doesn't it?
Oh, mate. I mean, literally, the change that's happened to us in terms of a fan base towards our club is unbelievable, isn't it, in the last few weeks. Massive credit has to go to Lampard and his team for giving us our Everton back, really, innit? Do you know what I mean? Because there was so much detachment between the fan base and the club, particularly during Benitez's spell. You know, I think under Carlo, wasn't there? There was real signs of it. A real sort of camaraderie growing. You know, the way we were playing. You know, we were picking up results, playing different ways, things like that, and you know. Okay, we weren't necessarily there as fans, but you know we could feel it. And obviously, having one of the best managers, certainly of his generation, at the helm, you know, the club was going in the right direction. And suddenly, we couldn't have done more of an about turn if we tried, couldn't we? Going with Benitez, and then we lost our way completely, and we lost some key players, and you know, staff were leaving, you know, key staff in that respect as well. And then we just suddenly go, what the hell's going on with our football club? And then, fair play to Frank, you know, massive kudos in terms of uniting the fan base, but also for me, just having the balls to be able to say, look, this isn't working the way he wants us to play, isn't it? In terms of, he clearly wants us to play front foot football, high press. Have we got the personnel for that? In some cases we have, in a lot of cases we haven't. And he's realised that, and you know, and fair play to him. A lot of managers, as we know, we've had them in the past, haven't we, where they're just massively stubborn, saying this is the way I want to play, regardless of the personnel, regardless of the results. And you know, as I said, he's had the sort of now send the balls to turn around and go, you know what, let's set us up, difficult to beat, You know, literally playing with the mid to low block, and then and counter with quality. And credit where it's due, mate. It's worked, doesn't it? It's worked in the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, he had to do something. You know, we go back to the start of his reign with the, you know, a 4-3-3, the win in the FA Cup against Brentford, the win against Leeds at Goodison Park, and you think, yeah, this is a sign of things to come. It's looking good. And then obviously things then just began to unravel a little bit, especially the, you know, the away form has been poor all season, bar, you know, before yesterday. The last win was in August at Brighton. And he then, you know, like you say, it wasn't a case of he was stubborn and kept, you know, kept on going and going and going with this same formation. He's then, you know, in the run of games from United, really, you know, where we picked up 10 points in 5 games. And we've seen a change, and he's got a formation which makes us difficult to beat. You know, it's not, you know, not great on the eye, but you've got to do, it's needs must, you know, with the players that he's got available, the injuries that we've had, the sides that we've been playing against as well. It's a case of needs must. And, you know, massive credit to him, massive credit to the players. You know, I think Frank Lampard has made football simple again, if that's the best way to look at it. And that's not being offensive to him, because what he's done is exactly right with what he's got. And the players, I think, are understanding what they need to do a little bit better. It's not confusing them. They all know the role, you know, the show and how disciplined that they can be. That continued again against the good Leicester side. Okay, a Leicester side that probably had a little bit of a hangover from Europe a few days earlier when they were knocked out. But a good Leicester side who made 6 changes, and, you know, they still had quality, I thought, throughout the side. And, you know, in our wildest dreams, 3 points would have been incredible. And we got them. But I think credit has got to go to, you know, we talk about the players, the manager, of course. But in terms of the fans, the fans have been absolutely sensational. The work that was done to get fans down to Finch Farm on Saturday, I was down there myself. It was just, there was hundreds. And, it's, you know, those who've never been down Finch Lane, it's very, very tight. It's a little sort of country road. And it was absolutely jam-packed, you know, from about 2:15. You know, people singing, the smoke bombs were going off. Great to see loads of kids down there with the parents as well. You know, Andros Townsend comes out. He's not in the squad. He's injured. Sat, you know, waiting for all the kids. Loads of photographs, you know. But we know, obviously, what kind of man he is. And it was great to see that he had the time to do that. And, you know, when the coach comes out and Frank Lampard at the front by the window, you know, it's just, it made everyone's day, and the noise was fantastic. And, you know, the players you can see by the videos inside the coach, we saw it against Chelsea, we saw it when he left Finch Farm, the players absolutely love it, and they seem to thrive on it, you know. And isn't it great to see?
I saw that. I thought Kevin Campbell got asked, didn't he, on, I think it was on Twitter, I think he got asked you know, how do you think the players would feel as an ex-player being inside the coach and seeing fans like that, the scenes at Chelsea or against Chelsea, the scenes obviously down at Finch Farm. And he said, you can't help but be like absolutely like buzzing for that or motivated by it. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, the fans have always backed the club, haven't they? Okay, we've had our ups and downs with this set of players. You know, let's have it right. You know, we've had some bad showings this season, and particularly away from home. But, you know, I mean, I wanted to flip it on you. You went to the game, obviously, Leicester away, and, you know, you've got a first-hand account of what it was actually like, both at Finch Farm, which you went down as well. It's not far from where you live, is it? And then, obviously, you went down to Leicester. I mean, what was it like, mate, being, obviously, a fan there in the away end? Because we don't get to go to many away games as much as we'd like. But, I mean, you know, give us an account of what it was like for you being there and being amongst it.
It's so difficult to describe it because I've never known anything like it. I've been, you know, over the years, I've been to it to a first year. You know, like you said, we don't get to it as many as we'd like to get away to. You know, of course not. And I've got massive respect for those who travel the country to follow the Blues every other week, because, you know, from an expenses point of view, and you know the sheer commitment of people, especially this season after what they've been saved.
Yeah, 100%.
Sense. Yeah. But you know, I mean, by the way, the King Power Stadium was an absolute dive. Just want to put that in there. You do a cracking chicken balsy pie. It's absolutely, it's so dingy and dark when you go in. It's not very particularly inviting for a stadium which your class is fairly new. It's not great for me. Or anyway,
is it like Pete's favourite place, Pop World in town? Is it? Is that what it's like? Yeah,
I'd say Pop World has got a slightly better atmosphere, and it's slightly more welcoming. To be perfectly honest, but yeah, it wasn't. I walked in. I wonder what I'd walked into after being stopped and searched, and you know, surrounded by sniffing dogs and what have you. It was quite a heavy security presence. But went in. The concourse was lively when we got through the door. To the turnstile, sorry, made our way to our seats after getting me chicken balti pie. And you know, the noise then started to come up to the stands. You know, when the players out for the warm up, you know, the noise was up and. Before the game, the fans were great, and I've got to say, I've never known anything like it in terms of incessant noise for prolonged periods of time. Literally, out of 93 minutes, if you like, I'd say we were probably singing for 89 and a half of those minutes. You know, it was just incredible. The ground was shaking. I asked my mate next to me, I said, are we moving? And he said, sure we are, as we were singing Spirits of the Blues. Everyone was up and down. It was moving, and I thought this is going to go in any minute now. It was just incredible. The noise, you know, the sheer jubilation, the sheer passion of the fans. You know, it was absolutely incredible. It was like we were the home side. You know, you couldn't hear. I didn't hear less the fans even when he scored. I struggled to hear them. You know, they had a big drum which was banging a couple of times when he scored. And they had those stupid clapper things. But no, I didn't hear them all game. It was as if. We were at home. We had three sides of the ground, and the players could. There's no way the players could not have fed off that because it pushed them along. You know, or Alex Iwobi getting his name sung again, Anthony Gordon getting his name sung. Yeah, you mean it? You know, the whole repertoire of songs. But once we started with Spirit of the Blues, that was it. It was just that and the Goodison Gang all game.
Wow, amazing.
It was sensational. I mean, we put a couple of videos up. People have probably seen, obviously, the Everton footage and other fan footage and the stuff that was shown over in America on their networks where they just listened to the Everton fans after the game. And, you know, I was there until 20, 25 minutes after. Didn't move. Didn't want to move. You know, it's a fairly long drive back from Leicester. You know, we had a little bit of a walk to where we parked and didn't want to move. I would have stayed there all day. It was just sensational. And
was it just from that standpoint, was it quite emotional? It certainly was quite emotional watching it. You know what I mean? Because obviously it's emotional because of the context of the game, what it meant. You know, we had to try and get the win, obviously, for obvious reasons. But it was quite emotional. You have, you know, when you got, there's something in it, isn't it? When you get a collective group of people, like 3,000 people in this case, in one space, all pulling in the same direction. You know, and all you said, just constantly singing at the top of your voice and that. I mean, it must be quite emotional being part of that, wouldn't it?
It was. I mean, I'm always a nervous wreck with Everton anyway when I watch Everton. And, you know, I'm always on edge. And I'm one of those people where, obviously, you stand up all game away from home. It's how it is. And I wouldn't, besides half-time, I actually sat down because I had to because I was absolutely knackered from the first half. During the game, I wouldn't even lean back against my seat to take any kind of rest. And my back was killing me. I thought I can't because if I do, they'll score. So being superstitious, you know, it's little things like that. But I think the emotion was clearly there. Of course it wasn't. And I look around at other people and there was an older fella next to me and my friend. And he was basically, his face was showing how he all felt inside. He was living every minute and he was on edge and his eyes were rolling and he's mumbling and it was just like he didn't enjoy any moments within the whole 93 minutes. And that was all inside. But it was incredible. But the emotion was there, of course. I mean, you know, there's numerous times in recent weeks when we've all probably been close to tears. You know, Man United, the Chelsea game, and then Leicester was one of them. You know, it was just sheer emotion. The immense pride, I've got to say, immense pride of the Everton fans for being, you know, the way that they are the home together. Massive, massive respect to the fans for them, the County Road Bobblers, Hans Tours, all those people who circulated the message on social media to get these kind of things organised. You know, the fans of Finch Farm was incredible, such short notice. The Chelsea game was incredible. Yesterday was incredible. I think yesterday was another level compared to anything I've ever seen when it comes to Everton. And, you know, you said it last week on the show that we will do our bit. Whatever we can do to try and get this club over the line and keep them in the Premier League, we'll do it. And anyone who doubted that, as we showed it again yesterday, we would do whatever it takes to keep this club in the Premier League. And, you know, there's no doubting our commitments. And to be honest, I don't doubt the players' commitments, the managers' commitments, because I think we're all united as a fan base, as a player, as players, as manager and coaching staff. We're all on the same page and we do what we need to do to win. And listen, that...
Can you imagine if we actually would bloody won something? Yeah, I mean, or we were competing for... You know, look at bloody boys across the park competing on four bloody levels. Can you imagine what we'd be like? You know, I mean, even if we're competing on for one trophy. I mean, in fact, you know, we are a mad club, aren't we? You know, when you think we're just not a normal... You know what? How many fans... I can't think of any fan bases that would literally be out there with the smoke grenades... Sacrifice, you know, that Alsatian that went past Chelsea looked like something out of bloody Valhalla, mate. It was like some sort of sacrificial thing going on with Vikings, you know what I mean? Like, literally, like, it was absolutely nuts. You know, he's just being carried over like that, like some sort of Sphinx or something. And then, you know, it's unbelievable. And then, it's in adversity we've come together. You know, we'd much rather come together, obviously, at the other end of the table, you know, trying to compete for trophies and that. But I mean, you know, as stupid as it sounds, look at Leicester at the end of that season when they really finished on a high, didn't they? Nearly got relegated, you know, and then suddenly they carried that momentum into the following season. I'm not, look, let's have it right. You know, that for that to happen again is like, you know, a million to one chance. But the fact is they carried that momentum and I'm feeling it now, you know, as a fan. I'm sure you were there, but you're just feeling that momentum that's carrying the players. And carrying the team, and that unity is so powerful, isn't it? Once you get behind a side like that with such a passionate fan base like we have, you know, it can take your team up two or three levels. It really can, you know, and it's shown it as, you know, no one embodies that for me more than anyone than Alex Iwobi since Frank Lampard's come in. I mean, you know, as clear as day, we've always said that Alex has got talent, you know, and you could see it in snippets, things like that, but I mean, the lads' last few games, the way Frank's changed it up, he's had to play right wing back, hasn't he? You know, or right back even when we're out of possession. You know, because he's been playing, you know, further forward in midfield. And the lad, it's done incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, his work rate's out of this world. And on top of that, you know, he's got quality as well. Look how he's picked out Mikulenko for that goal. You know, I mean, you know, people are saying, oh, yeah, he was trying to cross to Richarlison. I don't think he was. He took a great touch back off the throw-in. You know, he's took Perez out of the game there, and he's picked him out at the edge of the box. I mean, what a finish, by the way. What an absolute finish that is. I mean, you know, it's coming across him. It's on his favoured foot, obviously, but he's still got to get over the ball there and time that. And he's absolutely caught it perfectly. You know, at first I thought, oh, he shinned that. He hasn't. He's absolutely caught it sweet as a nut on the boot, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean? Great technique, great, you know, body shape on it. And Schmeichel had absolutely no chance with it. But yeah, going back to Iwobi, like I was saying, I think nothing embodies it. You know, Frank, since he's come in, he's had his detractors in some quarters. But you can't deny the fact that he's really, you know, brought on the likes of Alex Iwobi, the likes of Anthony Gordon in particular. Mikulenko now being integrated into the team, having been a sort of bit part player when he's come through. You know, he's clearly had an effect on a lot of these players, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's been a few standouts, especially in recent weeks. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Alex Iwobi, even going back to that Newcastle game was when he got his goal was the moment, wasn't it, for him, I think, a little bit of an epiphany, if you like. And he's been excellent ever since. He's made the central midfield position his own, and he's now made the right wing-back position his own in this back five. I think defensively, if you watch him, he's awful in the air, Iwobi. He doesn't go for a header. He hates heading the ball. It's funny when you watch him. He just backs away and he can have it. But in the tackle, he's strong. He put in a couple of cracking tackles yesterday that just stopped them breaking forward. His recovery pace was good as well. Did that a couple of times. Obviously, I agree. I think he was picking out Mikhailenko. I thought it was a great ball for the goal. And outside of Jordan Pickford, who's been another, and it was in sensational form the last couple of games. Iwobi was probably man of the match outside of Jordan Pickford. Mikhailenko, like you say, really come on. You know, the kid's now starting to settle. He's starting week in, week out. Defensively, I think he's good. And he's a throwback left back, is what, that's what he is. You know, he is starting to get forward more. And listen, what a goal. You know, I'm behind him on the angle. And as he's hit it, from my angle, the ball was going outside the post and it comes back in. The bend on the ball, and he never ever going to catch the ball.
He's bent it back in Rivaldo style, hasn't he? Yeah, you know I mean,
it was absolutely sensational. And once he hit that, I thought that's in. And you know, no one deserves it more than him after he was going through a hell of a lot. But he's come to a new country. He's had his detractors, you know, when people make snap judgments so quickly on players. But he's settled down. And now he starts week in, week out, and totally deserved. And, you know, it's a great goal. And, you know, I just, all in all, we faced adversity yesterday. And how many times in the past when we would have been pegged back from an appalling goal, defensive mix-up, and you think, oh, here we go. You know, we've got in front early doors. We concede after we should have really gone 2-0, to be perfectly honest, with through Decore.
Yeah, what happened there, Barry? I've not seen a replay of it yet. It looks like Decore's, if he'd have connected clean with it, it's a goal, isn't it? But he scuffed it, I think. And then Schmeichel, it should be an easy save, but he seems to somehow cock it up, doesn't he? And then he puts it in his own net.
I think he's expecting probably a better contact from Decore. And when it doesn't happen, he makes a hash of the save and it rolls towards the line, clips the post, and then he grabs hold of the ball.
Oh, very lucky.
So he's thinking, if that goes in with 2-0, then it's a little bit more plain sailing. But then they go down the other end straight away and score. And, you know, from that moment, Mina was too concerned with being physical. That was his problem. You know, when the build-up to that, he's trying to get hold of the centre forward, and you think, you know, you're much bigger.
I wanted to mention this actually because I think the foot of the blame here, like, I don't want you, it'd be interesting to get your opinion, but I think it lies with Coleman here. I think Mina's in complete control of the situation, and he's basically, like he does, he likes to have a bit of a grapple, a bit of contact. You know, that's the type of centre back he is. He likes to feel the player. I think he's in complete control of it, and then Seamus for me just needs to drop off like 5 or 6 yards to potentially pick up any sort of pieces that, you know, from that little sort of altercation, if you like. Because, you know, Mina was always going to maybe nod it back or whatever. So Coleman, just to go, well, he's obviously grappling with Iheanacho here. Daka, sorry. And then literally all he has to do is just drop off 5 yards. And he somehow goes in for a header. I don't know what he was thinking. Like, and out of nowhere, he said they both fall over each other and he's through one-on-one. I mean, you just then thinking that was the Everton of about 4 or 5 weeks ago, wasn't it, where we were just making mistakes for fun, like against Burnley and people like that. And I just thought, oh no, what's going on here now? I mean, we, you know, like you said, it should have been 2-0 the other end. 30 seconds later, we're looking at 1-1. But you know what? The power of positivity, mate. The power of positivity, like you said, the fans didn't stop singing. You know, it's the first time in a while where we've conceded a goal like that, and I still didn't feel worried. Do you know what I mean? I didn't feel worried. It's almost like, you know, when you're in a rich vein of form, and we haven't even been in a rich vein of form, it just feels that, it just shows you the power of positivity around the club, doesn't it? You know, we could have gone on and lost the game, don't get me wrong, but it's that feeling from the fans spreads to the players of almost like, yeah, well, it's 1-1, so what, we can still win this. You know what I mean? And we would have capitulated at 1-1, I think, a few months ago, wouldn't we?
Yeah, and that's really important to point out. As I say, when we've had the adversity in the past, in recent times, we have capitulated, and yesterday we didn't. And from the mistake, you know, for the goal to then losing Yerry Mina, you know, that's another bit of adversity, although I think his head had gone because he had it 4 or 5 minutes after that as well. I just thought, his head's on in the game here. So Keane comes on. I thought he played particularly well. I thought Holgate played well, got his goal. Listen, he did the same last season, does it again, causing issues at set pieces, and went to 2-1, and it was just a case of them let's have 5 or 10 minutes of a calm. We've gone ahead again. Let's relax. You know, we get to our time, so you want to, you know, great, let's take it off. And it was just, I think.
By the way, I love that Holgate celebration before we go on. He was absolutely rinsing Daka. Did you see that? Daka did that celebration, hand over the face, and he's just literally done that in front of the Leicester fans, hasn't he, deliberately. Like, absolute proper shithousery, that. Love that.
Yeah, but this is the kind of thing, though. I know that's something small, but the little things, again, that we saw yesterday, you know, game management is the phrase. And you know, players going down for longer than they need to when they're getting fouled, and, you know, taking the time on throws, Jordan Pickford holding the ball a little bit longer. Little things like that we've always been really poor at, especially in recent times. They're the things that win you games and get your points in. And, you know, the second half, to be fair, Leicester pushed on. Jordan Pickford was in fantastic form, made a couple of excellent, you know, he carried the form from the Chelsea game into that game, always in control. You know, the one from Mendy in the top corner, there was a lot of shouts around me, it's in. And to get his top handle and get that tipped around the post was incredible, you know.
Incredible save, wasn't it? You know what, if you watch that again, it's not just the save. Obviously, he's gone with his other hand, you know what I mean? But there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion, as long as he saves it. But if you look at his feet movement, I mean, you'll know, you're the goalkeeper's brigade, but if you look at his feet movement, he's almost read what Mendy's going to do, which obviously is a big part of being a goalkeeper anyway, trying to read it. And then his feet movement there to get across, to make the save look easier than it was, to be honest, is the save for me is in the feet movement. If you look at it, it's incredible to get across. You know, he's taken probably 4 or 5 side steps there, quick side steps, you know, to get right across the goal to expect the bender in the far corner. And you know, what a save as well. Obviously, we all know one of his biggest attributes is his athleticism in it, in goal, and obviously his reaction speed and everything else. And you know, that's a hell of a save. That's not, for me, that's not that far behind in terms of the save last week against Chelsea. You know, which could for me potentially go down as save of the season. It should do. Absolutely incredible. So, but you're right. He's been, for me, I would say player of the season. If you were giving that out now, you know, I know Gordon's been a bright spot this season, but I'd say Pickford, you know, for all the detractors he had, particularly last season in patches, you know, and a lot of us stuck by him, let's be fair. There was handfuls that were given at him. But, you know, he's been absolutely outstanding, really. Probably ever since Carlo really took him out a little bit, didn't he? And rumours that he's been to see a psychologist and things like that. But I think Carlo managed it brilliantly, really. I think ever since then, his level hasn't really dropped, has it?
No, it's not. And I think having, he obviously had Robin Olsen behind him last season, he was a good deputy, you know, pushing him all the way, which helped him. I think he's got a decent deputy behind him in Begovic as well. But, you know, he attended a psychologist, which helped him. We had a couple of moments last season, like you say, which Carlo sort of took him out. But I think overall, for 18 months, 2 years, I think he's been consistent. You know, is any mistakes to Jordan Pickford make? Makes us always highlighted more and magnified because of who he is. You know, you see mistakes. Ramsdale makes a mistake a week at the moment, and no one says anything about it. You know, because he was the golden boy, he's coming through, he's taking Jordan Pickford's place, and he's made mistake after mistake. You know, you go back to the other week when he comes flying out, and really, you know, he could have, he should have really been sent off. And, you know, sometimes positioning's poor. And, you know, that's not me slagging him off. He's a good young goalkeeper. But this is the problem with media nowadays, where they put people on a pedestal. Well, you don't treat him the same as you treat Jordan Pickford. They're waiting for Pickford to make a mistake to criticise. Whereas with Ramsdale, if he does something well, it's all over the papers. If he makes a mistake, you don't hear about it. And that's the
business. You know what? It's complete lazy journalism again, isn't it? It's lazy journalism again. The fact that, you know, the phrases that are banded around by most of the press that don't even watch half our games. Oh, that's the England's Pickford that's turning up for Everton. Well, no, it's not, mate. If you actually watched any of our games and paid attention to your job, you know, he's actually literally been in that sort of form pretty much most of the season. He's been that consistent. Yeah, he's had one or two little bits, but, you know, you cannot go through a season as a keeper without making one or two errors. You know what I mean? That's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's part of the job. But to be fair to him, he's been absolutely, particularly recently, where, you know, he's just as important in winning as those points as anybody else. You know, some people can point around and go, "Yeah, that's his job." You know, he's supposed to make. Yeah, but that for me is just, you know, you've got to sort of keep goals out the other end. And at times this season, we've been really poor in terms of conceding soft goals. And he's been absolutely outstanding. You know, making more saves than we'd probably like. Let's have it right. But at the same time, it needs must at the minute. And he, you know, you're right to praise him there. He's been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, and you know, he's had two man of the match performances on the spin, and those people who say, like you said, you know, that's what he's there to do. Yeah, he's there to make saves, but he's pulled off in two games. He's pulled off probably four world class saves. You know, and we're talking about levels here, and you know about quality of goalkeepers. And you know, Jordan Pickford is a world-class goalkeeper, and the fact that he's now settled down a bit more mentally has made him a better goalkeeper. We know he's been rash in the past. We know he's not a particularly commanding goalkeeper, but I think he's getting better and has got better in terms of dealing with crosses and corners and things like that. I'm delighted for him. You know, he can see what it means to him at the end of the game. And, you know, before the game yesterday, he came out first and got a great reception, and he made sure he acknowledged the fans. And you know, it's just good to see, as I say, that some players are now thriving off you know, where, you know, the adversity, because the adversity has united us all. And the hope is that, you know, we stay up this season. That is the hope, of course it is. And then going into next season, this continues, you know, that the fan player manager relationship continues. It's what we wanted. And I was chatting the other day to somebody, and they said, isn't it much better and a much nicer thing to be supporting the club in this way? Isn't this better than us all sitting there having a whinge and a moan and slagging certain players off and et cetera? And it is, you know, how enjoyable have the last 8 or 9 days been, you know, in adversity? How enjoyable has it been? It's been incredible.
But it's infectious, you know, isn't it, mate? It's infectious. I mean, positivity is infectious. Yeah, I mean, just as negativity is infectious as well. You know, where we've, like you said, where we've sat at Goodison and it's been a library, or it's been as under Rafa, where we're sitting off at home to a team that we should be beating. Do you know what I mean? Or a team that we should be certainly taking the game to, which was numerous examples. You know what I mean? And the only game I can think under Frank where it felt like a bit like Rafa-esque, if you like, where it was like that, was the Wolves game. You know what I mean? When it was a little bit sort of flat. But to be fair, you know, like I said, since he's come in, He's really galvanised the fans. And you know, you can throw all these phrases out there like, oh, he gets it, and people rinse him, you know, rinse people for that. But the point is, he's come in. He clearly was a top player, as we all know, so he'll get instant respect from us as fans and the players as well. Yes, he's a young manager. He's learning his trade, and he showed bits already, a bit of naivety in some games, you know. But I want a manager who embodies us as a club. And at the moment, you've got to give it to him. He does. You know, he came out twice to, you know, to you guys as fan base, as a fan base there yesterday. And you know, that's great to see. That's great to see that the manager is coming out. Look, it's easy to come out when you've just had a victory like that. You know, and there will be times where the finger's going to be pointed at him because we've lost and he's got something wrong. The manager always takes, you know, the positives and the negatives. He takes the flak if things go wrong. But so far, I think he's done a decent job. And like I said, he's had the cojones to actually change it and play in a sort of more pragmatic way. And it's working. You know, it's working. And as I said, the fans are buying into it, the players are buying into it. You know, if all we need to do now, fingers crossed, is, you know, we know it's not over yet, but if we can just get, you know, 6 points as soon as possible. You know, and hopefully, you know, realistically, we'll talk about Watford shortly. You know, we should be going into that now. We're absolutely bouncing. But the last thing I want to do is be going into that Arsenal game with something still to play for, because, you know, Arsenal battling their rivals, Spurs, for that Champions League place. And the last thing we want to do is go into that game where they need a result. And then we need a result, because that'll be a tough game, because, you know, they are, you know, a relatively informed side at the minute.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, yesterday was fantastic, and it's important that we enjoy it. You know, it's been a long time coming after what we've experienced away from home, especially this season. Enjoy that. Enjoy the build-up to Watford, of course, but then it's important that as a fan base And obviously, as players, etc., we can't afford to be complacent. The work's not done. We're not over the line. We've turned things around in the space of 7 to 8 days and got ourselves out of the relegation zone, but only by a point. You know, we've got a game in hand, but like we keep on saying, points are more important than games in hand. So enjoy it. You know, I had the time of my life yesterday. Unbelievable. Absolutely loved every minute of the occasion, of the day. And, you know, we look back on that hopefully at the end of the season as being, you know, one of the key moments in a really poor season and take great pride in it as well. So, like you said, you know, the Watford game is coming up. We've got 4 games left. Really important that we take this good form and this feel-good factor into that. And we're going to discuss that after this short break. Welcome back to the second part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast. Like I said, all eyes on Watford now. You know, Watford, the relegation has been confirmed after the defeat at Crystal Palace. So when you face these kinds of sides, Lee, it's one of those, isn't it? You know, it's either they play with a freedom because there's no pressure on them. That's what can happen. We've seen it happen in the past. Or because they've been relegated, you know, the mood around the place is pretty low. The players aren't feeling it. They're looking to the summer and to the holidays. And, you know, it can then work in our favour. But it's a game, like we said, we can't afford to be complacent. We can't afford to go there and think all our work is done and we're safe. We've got to go there, be professional, and try and get 3 points.
Well, 100%, mate, 100%. I was about to echo your phrase there. You know, sometimes when you play teams, like you said, I've gone down. You know, there is that sort of like pressure off their back straight away, and like you said, they play without any inhibition, freedom, whatever you want to call it. But I looked at that game when they played Palace the other day, and they played like they were already down. And I know it was going to be a miracle to stay up. Don't get me wrong, and we all know that. But Palace, they won 1-0 in the end, but it should have been more. It should have been a lot more. And obviously, there was the disharmony at the end around Roy Hodgson spending more time with the Palace fans than he was with the Watford fans, which is obviously brilliant, what we want to see as well. Because, you know, that was, yeah, you know, he's well thought of amongst everyone at Palace after the, you know, the decent job he did there. But I'm hoping, like you just said there, that, you know, half the fans won't even bother turning up because they're already down. We can maybe buy some, even to some allocation in the home end, which I wouldn't be surprised.
I think that's happened already, to be honest.
Well, there we go then, that shows you about our fan base again. But and as you like to call them, you have liked to call them since this podcast started, the snakes, you know what I mean, with all the Marco Silva links. So you know, I'm just we owe them one, don't we, after the Goodison result earlier in the season when we were 2-1 up, you know, in control of the game, and then suddenly we decided to vacate midfield and somehow managed to concede 4 goals. So we owe them one. We definitely owe them one. And you know, Richarlison, obviously we signed him from Watford. He has turned up against him, hasn't he, in the past as a former player. And, you know, Richarlison again, the other day was absolutely outstanding again. Ran his absolute socks off again, didn't he, in the game. Absolutely knackered. But, you know, if anything, I think get your money on him as a goal scorer this week. In the week, I think he'll score a couple this week, because he's hit a purple patch at the right time. We're right to praise Pickford, we're right to praise Iwobi, Mikulenko and others, but you know, he's been absolutely outstanding recently, and scored some key goals for us. And you know, I was at the Leicester game at home, and it was a weird sort of game because he probably should have got a hat trick. Well, he should have got a hat trick, and he knows it himself. Hopefully that won't come back to haunt us, but you know, I can see Richarlison turning up in this game. And if, you know, if the fans back the players, which I'm sure they will, like they have done again, there'll be another send-off, no doubt, again from Finch Farm. You know, I can see us going in that game. If we get that first goal, they've lost, haven't they lost something like 11 in a row or something like that at home? Some sort of mad stat. So, you know, we've got to go there with positivity again. Forget this, you know, oh, that's Everton remark, you know, typical Everton will bounce in after 11 defeats. And we've got to just go in there and just play with that positivity again. And I'd play the same way. I'd play the same way. You know what I mean? Again, yes, we'll probably have a little bit more of the ball, but I'd play the same way. Just be hard to beat. Try and get as many of the same personnel out there as possible and just pick them off. Just pick them off. We've got the quality to do that. I think half their players won't even be asked and won't even be there, really. And we've got to go there with authority as just like a team that's in form and say, and if we can get 3 points there, that's a massive step then. That's a massive step. And then we've got, like you said, we've got those two home games then coming up. So I, you know, try and pick it. We'd only need one win from those two then, wouldn't we? You know, or even a couple of draws might even be enough to sort of get our safety, really.
Yeah, I hate to do predictions and things like that in terms of, you know, looking ahead and I've got in my head, I think we need 2 wins out of 4, you know, whatever way they want to come. You know, the sooner the better. You know, the sooner we can guarantee our safety, hopefully Sunday is when we can do it, then absolutely fantastic. But Watford, you know, like, you know, let's go there with the confidence that we've built. It's, you know, we've worked so hard in the last couple of weeks to shift momentum. You know, we've got to use that to our advantage now, because, you know, we've been written off by many. And again, I can't really say it's enough. It's not over, of course. But, you know, I think when people saw who we had to play, they wrote us off. And it's credit to the players that we are still in with a really, really good fighting chance to stay in the Premier League. And great chance on Wednesday to go to an already relegated side and pick up 3 points. It just, you know, it all depends probably how we've recovered as a side from another, you know, for them. It's an energy-sapping game against Leicester. Obviously, a lot of the possession was for the opposition. So it all depends who comes through it. Obviously, Yerry Mina, the chances are he's not going to be fit. So Michael Keane will probably slot in. Mikhailenko went off. It appeared to be cramp, so it should be okay. You know, we've got a couple of players who, you know, maybe we could throw Rondon in the middle for 60. Maybe Donk will come in and give us an hour, you know, to give a bit of a rest and try and sort of get a couple of players refreshed for the weekend. But there's no more important game than your next game, and that's Watford. So whoever's fit, ready, feeding, energised, get them on the pitch. You know, we've got to go in there all guns blazing and hopefully we can come away with the 3 points. And it won't be successful, very, very similar again in terms of, you know, that formation. As much as you think, you know, it's Watford, it's not your Chelsea's and Leicester away and things like that and Liverpool. But, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We can play the same way, probably get it more on the counter against Watford than we have against other sides. You know, they'll give us that. I think Ben Foster was saying as well, did he say the other day that if things aren't going the way after 60 minutes, the players really struggle and the heads go down massively. So we've got to look at that and use that as fuel for ourselves, you know. And also Ben Foster said how, you know, when you come to Goodison Park, how great it is to sort of get our fans turned against our own players. So he's owed one as well from us. So use it all as fuel. And go in there with confidence, because you've earned it. You've earned the right to be confident, but you've not earned the right to be basically not on the ball. You cannot be complacent. You've just got to go in there and be professional, like you've shown them. Great chance for us. And the away end will be bouncing again. Obviously sold out, like I said, and me and numerous of fans in the home end, him in that corner by the away fans. It's going to be a send-off tomorrow, Finch Farm. Quarter past 3, I think it is. The coach will be leaving to probably go to Runcorn Station. So, listen, if you're in the area, get down there. If you've got some time owing in work, get yourself down there. You know, if you haven't got any time owing in work, get yourself down there. You know, whatever you can do to help the lads, help the manager, the coach and staff, you know, show them again. You know, we've all worked hard. We're all knackered after the last week or so. Not long ago, now to keep this club in the Premier League. And then we can then hopefully look forward to the summer, to new kits, to Bramley Moore again and things like that. But vitally important that we all do our part, yes, again.
I totally agree. And they've lost 7 out of the last 8, Watford as well, haven't they? You know, at home and away. And like I said before, we owe him one after that game. You know, obviously Josh King, I don't think he's done anything since that Goodison game, has he? You know what I mean? So I don't want to tempt fate, obviously, but he scored a hat trick there, like he had a point to prove. So we've got to turn up with a point to prove. And as I said, I fancy Richarlison turning up in that game. He has done in the past against his former club. And, you know, they had obviously their left back sent off as well. Nate Kamara went off, who's a key player for them. Cleverley went off injured. One of their centre backs went off injured as well. So, you know, they've still got threats. They still carry a threat. Emmanuel Dennis has been a great signing for them. We all know about Sarr, Ismaila Sarr, who's obviously a talented kid. He'll probably end up getting a move. So will Dennis at the end of the season. So, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion, but, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better game now. If you've got an away game coming up, obviously we'd prefer it at home, but if you've got an away game coming up now, you know, these are the guys you want to play. And, you know, looking ahead slightly without getting too far at the minute, you know, Palace are really in half-decent form at the minute. You know, they're playing with confidence. You know, they've won the last two games. They had a bit of an iffy run after beating us and Arsenal. They lost 3 on the spin, but then they turned it back round again. And, you know, we all know how talented some of those kids are, you know, the likes of Eze and Elise and people like that. And Zaha's hit a bit of form. So, you know, that's not, even though we have got them at home, as we know, it'll always be a tough game against Palace. We've always had, you know, some ding-dong matches against them at Goodison, normally under the lights as well, haven't we? So, and obviously Brentford as well. Brentford have hit a little bit of form as well. You know, to get themselves out of trouble. So, you know, whilst our home form has been, you know, fantastic under Lampard, I think we've won 7 out of 9 in all comps under him, which doesn't get reported on enough, to be honest. The press don't tend to focus on that. They tend to focus on the away form, which is ridiculous. But yeah, so, you know, for me, like you just said there, it's a real opportunity against a team that's already down here to pick up 3 points. And that takes us then, you know, takes on to 38, doesn't it? And that's a real chance then, a real chance of sort of getting ourselves out of trouble. But like you just said, there's only 1 point in it still. And as mad as this season's been, you know, I know Leeds have got a tough game, haven't they, at the weekend against Spurs. But, you know, the last thing we want to do is drop points here and then suddenly Burnley and Leeds pick up something and we're back in the mire again, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know, it's important, Leeds, as positive as we've been, to do that, yeah.
Leeds are playing Chelsea, aren't they, the weekend?
Was it Chelsea? Sorry.
Burnley go away to Spurs. Leeds are playing Chelsea the same night as we're playing Watford, I'm sorry, and then Burnley go away to Spurs at the weekend. So Leeds have got a couple of, on paper, they look not quite as difficult, the matches. But listen, every game this time of the season is difficult, so we can't be thinking, we've got Brentford and Palace at only 6 points, because it's nothing's guaranteed. So the sooner we can get these points on the board and hopefully cement our place in the Premier League, the better. We've just got to look at next game, go and win it. You know, let's get 4 points clear of the bottom three, because Burnley aren't playing midweek. So we'll all be on the same games. Let's get 4 points clear with 3 to play, you know, and then let's finish the job at the weekend. That's the focus. That's what we've got to do. We don't want to be going to Arsenal last game of the season trying to find something. You know, we can't be relying on Chelsea to do us a favour against Leeds. We can't be relying on Spurs to do us a favour against Burnley. Do it yourself. You know, that's what we've done the last week or so. Do it yourself. So we go there hopeful, as I say, but we also go there not being completions is the key. And I'm sure the players won't, the manager won't allow it. You know, the way he talks after the game yesterday, you know, he's beaming obviously with pride at us fans and his players. And, you know, Lampard loves it. He absolutely loves it. The fact he came back out yesterday, you know, 20 minutes after the game, was just incredible to see a manager do that and appreciate what we've done as fans. But the way he speaks, you know, he says, listen, we can enjoy it, but it's 3 points. It's nothing more than 3 points. It doesn't do anything else. It gives us 3 points. And we go and say, you know, after last night, today, all focus now is on Watford, you know, recovery sessions, training tomorrow, on the coach, on the train, down to London, and then we focus on Watford. And that's how it's got to be. One game at a time. We only need to take our leave from the manager. Simple as that. What's your prediction, Lee? What are you going for?
Well, you know, the positivity, as I said, surrounding the club right now. as I said, we couldn't have asked for a better game. So I think we'll bounce into it, mate. And if we get that first goal, like I said, that'll really, their heads will drop. We can't give them a sniff, can we? We can't be making any mistakes that we made to concede the other day. But, you know, I'm going to say 3-1 Everton. I think they'll get a goal because they carry a bit of a threat, as I said, in Dennis and Saar, but and certainly King as well, as we know. But I just think, well, the mood we're in right now as a club, as a fan base, you know, set of players, the players will be bouncing. You know, yeah, like you said, there will be gassing a little bit. There will be little niggles and injuries, things like that. But they're just going to want to play now, aren't they? They're just going to want to play. You know, it's important to ride this wave and ride the momentum. And it's really important. If we get those 3 points, it would take a minor miracle then for us to go down from there, wouldn't it? So it's a real opportunity to hopefully put this season to bed. And you know, I think the players will do it. And I'm going to say 3-1.
I'm hopeful, you. And I'm feeling positive. You know, that Sunday's definitely brought even more positivity, that we can now go away from home. You said we can't rely on home games. We've now shown we can go away from home against a decent side and win a game. So it gives you more positivity. I'm going to say 2-1 Everton. I think we'll do it. I think it'll be nervy at times. But I back the lads to go there, be professional. You know, beat a side who's already been relegated. And one step closer to being safe. And then all eyes on Sunday. But fingers crossed, it's another positive away performance, and a massive respect to all the Evertonians travelling down there midweek. You know, shocking their fixture planning again, but you know, massive respect to everyone travelling down there. But that's us for today, us for this week. Appreciate everyone listening in once again. If you can do, please do grace us on Spotify or iTunes. It does help us. It does mean a lot as well. Assume it's a good rating. If it's not 5 stars, then don't give us one. that's probably the best. but we do appreciate it. And we'll be back on Sunday, post Brentford, to look back on that, and obviously Watford. Hopefully it's a positive week for Everton once again, and we can secure our place in the Premier League. So we'll catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. 3 Blues. 3 Opinions. 1 Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.